Laurie Call with the Illinois Public Health Institute, and we're working in cooperation partnership with the Illinois Department of Public Health to coordinate the web conference series, and I thank all of you for joining today. We had an overwhelming response to requesting the web conference, and so we were expecting quite a large number of people on the phone conference today. The way that we're going to operate today is that we would request that all participants, all of you who are listening, if you would mute your phones, and when you have a question, go ahead and unmute your phone and just state your name and where you're from and ask your question, and then I will field that to the appropriate presenter. All of our presenters are present today, with the exception of Dr. Ares. And Mark Peters from St. Clair County will hopefully be able to address any questions that you had in relation to their presentation. So if you, during this session, if you have some questions that you did not get to ask, or something comes up after this session and you would like to ask it, you can email me your question and I will get that to the appropriate person and get you an answer. And we'll keep a log of all of those questions and post them online as well. So without holding off any longer, we'll go ahead and start with our questions. And if we don't have any questions, we do have a few that did come in online that we can ask. But right now, I would open it up to anyone who has a question following the presentation.
This is Katie Perry from Lake County.
Hi.
I have a question for Joe Ambrose regarding the CATCH programs. How do those, do you work at all with schools that are also doing team nutrition programs? And do those programs coordinate together? Would schools participate in one or the other, or could schools participate in both of them? Is there an overlap there? I was just curious.
Hi, this is Joe. CATCH is really very flexible to where you can have other programs incorporated with it. The team nutrition can certainly be done in conjunction with CATCH. So the requirements, you know, with CATCH is more about getting the atmosphere of the school and environment, you know, for healthy eating and physical activity, and other things can be incorporated into that as supplements. So, yeah, you can do both of them actually at the same time.
Thank you for your question. And right now I can hear someone's something playing in the background, so someone does not have their phone muted. So if everyone could just check and make sure their phone's on mute. Someone is actually playing the presentation in the background, so we can hear that coming across. Thank you. Next question. Questions that we had come in was in regards to how you sell the program to the school and how with all the competing priorities and outcomes and requirements that are on schools, how you get them to buy into changing their way of doing business one more time, getting staff to change in the kitchen or teachers to change the way they do business. And those of you presenters who worked on the CATCH program, if you could respond to that, and I'll start with you, Angie, if you could tell us a little bit about how you approach selling the program to the schools.
Well, part of it is just informing them about how healthy kids learn better. Joe mentions this in her presentation, but how if they are healthy and doing all these things, that they are going to be doing better academically, and there's lots of data and research to support that. The other way we do it is through the use of the wellness committees, since all schools must have wellness committees, and having their wellness committee do that school health index to show them where they're doing really well and where they could improve, and then through that they...
Thank you, Angie. And how about in DeKalb? Do you have a response to that question as well?
Sure. This is Nancy in DeKalb. I agree. We were very lucky because one thing we did do is target the wellness committee. And the best part about CATCH was that it fit into a lot of the things and the needs we needed to meet. So we were very lucky to use that. The wellness committee had a very big plan and had a lot of objectives, so it was very easy to fit it in. And once administration, which is a big key, signs on, then it went from there, and it seemed the teachers and everyone else fell in line pretty quickly.
Great. Thank you. Just a follow-up question to that came in also was, how do you find or identify a champion in the school? It seems like that would be really important. And Joe, do you want to speak to that?
It's going to be probably different with every school to find that champion. Usually after you talk to any person in the school for about 5 minutes, you'll know if they'll be a champion or not. We have had champions that have been the food service director. We've had champions been classroom teachers. Most often it's the PE teacher or the school nurse, but the principal, I mean, it just depends. You just have to kind of feel out the environment at the school and see who's the go-getter within the school or even within the community, because we have champions even within local health departments or the wellness councils or other just community members that can be a champion too. So you can usually tell within just the first few minutes of talking to someone that's excited about it, and they will become your champion most likely.
Great. Thank you. Angie, or Nancy, or Marcy, did you have anything to add to that?
I agree with Joe. This is Angie from Jackson County. Really, the teachers, many times you might have a school hear about something that you're doing with another school, and then they contact you, and usually that person, in some of our schools, it's the school social worker, or the student liaison, or somebody else who's the champion. So I think it just varies, but real quickly, they'll kind of self-identify.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
This is Diane Driver from Waukegan Public Schools, and one of our nurses has a question.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. And we can barely hear you. If you could speak louder or move closer to the speakerphone.
Hi. My name is Susan Coonan. I'm one of the school nurses in the Waukegan Public Schools. And I'm really happy to hear that Katy Perry is also on this conference call, because my question is for Mark Peters. And the way you guys developed or did a strategic or a map assessment and then found out that your strategic priority was to create a broader sense of community connectedness, and it just seems like that is such a vital link to focusing on wellness and physical activity. And I mean, I'm kind of wondering if Lake County do we have a map assessment done? And Mark, do you think that that's something that necessarily that needs to be done in order to, promote it to the community?
Yeah, well, in terms of, if you've already, and this is an excellent question, but if you've already undertaken your I-Plan process, whatever methodology you made use of, you wouldn't need to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. You wouldn't need to necessarily conduct the whole map assessment. You could focus just on that community and themes and strengths component of one of those phases of MAP, which is really where this concept of community connectedness came out of, and that was undertaken by Dr. Aris and her student nurses over a period of several semesters, having access to their time to go out and conduct this survey. So I would say definitely, get the general sense of where your community is at. You can do this through focus groups, through key informants, We just happen to have time, because we set this up early on, to kind of hit the pavement with some 1,700 surveys that generated an overwhelming sense of, you know, across the county, our communities are losing touch with one another. And that, of course, set the stage for this concept of trying to bring them back together and to do something that would, you know, a friendly spirit of competition, if you will, that would resonate with all classes of individuals, groups, because they all want to do something and they want to do it together. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I certainly would recommend pulling up some of those concepts that are in that component of the community themes and strengths, because when push comes to shove, that was the driving force behind this when we eventually, you know, pulled the trigger and decided to go forward with it.
Thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. And Susan, did you say that was your name who asked the question?
Yes, that's my name.
Okay,
so
thanks.
Can I just ask a follow-up question then to Katie Perry to see if through the Lake County Health Department, do they have that kind of information that we have that as a strategic priority?
Katie, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. And yes, I'm actually with the person who was leading up part of our whole eye planning process. You could probably better address that than me.
Well, rather than talk and involve all these other people, if you would give Katie a call, she can give you my information, and we can talk directly. We do have an eye plan implementation process. We have several goals, some of them related to obesity. We just went through kind of a six-month planning implementation phase, and we can talk about that rather than me try to give you this information. If you would contact Katie, she'll give you my information. My name is Jack Mills. You can call me at the Lake County Health Department, and I'd be glad to meet with you and talk with you about that.
Thank you, Jack. And also, because Mark's mentioned MAP and the MAP process that they engaged in for their assessment process, if you're looking for more information on MAP, you can check the Illinois Public Health Institute website, which is IPHI online, or the iPlan website. And if you are looking for the iPlan website, just go to Google and type iPlan, and it'll be the first listing that comes up. And on both sites, there's a web conference posted that gives you an overview of MAP and the assessments and resources to find additional information and tools for the assessment, tool that Mark mentioned on community themes. Who has another question?
Mark.
I do. Karen Baker, Northwest Community Hospital.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I have a question regarding the startup costs on the CATCH program. I believe it was Joe referenced it was about $5,000 to purchase a curriculum and the PE equipment and host the family event in the pilot school. As you increase the number of schools in the district, did the price per school go down at all, or did it remain pretty much consistent at $5,000, and was it an additional $5,000 for each extra year you did the program?
We typically will give our grants out for about $5,000 to each building, each school.
Uh-huh.
And that will cover buying the curriculum and the PE equipment and a family fun night for that school. And if it goes district-wide, you can probably combine your family events.
Uh-huh.
So you don't need quite that much to have one event but involve three or four different schools. And I think, you know, Nancy and DeKalb County and Angie can probably tell you a little bit more about that, what they've done as far as pooling resources for that. But the curriculum you will have to buy for each building. PE equipment you'll probably have to buy for each building. But you can kind of cut some corners on the family events.
Is it an ongoing process, though? Can the curriculum be used year after year?
Yes.
Okay.
Angie and DeKalb, did you want to add to that at all?
Yes, this is Nancy in DeKalb. You know, what we did is that we had a district-wide, it was a family night, and all the district put together on that, so that was a little more inexpensive. Also, we always started with an inventory. So the district could, if they had a lot of the equipment or enough of the equipment was in good condition, they were able to order less for different schools if they had enough equipment. So we were pretty creative in some of the things we did.
And this is Angie from Jackson County. We do the similar things that they do there. The other thing is we work really closely with our hospital organization. So we're kind of in a similar, you know, you're a hospital. But we do the similar thing.
Thank you. Angie, next time you speak, you're a little bit quiet. If you could move closer to the speaker and just increase your voice a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
To add to that, this is Joe. With the PE equipment, there is a listing that I have of the basic equipment that you need to do the catch program. And, you know, if you've already got plenty of jump ropes, don't buy more jump ropes, just like Nancy indicated. You know, you can go through that list, and if you have quite a bit of PE equipment already at that building, then, yeah, use your money, you know, for other things.
I know we had another question about catch that came in that if people want to write a grant for catch, where can they get help doing that?
Okay, this is Joe. I have lots of information that can go into grants. So if you want to write for like a General Mills grant, for instance, I think it's $10,000. And they give out several throughout the United States every year. You know, I have language that you can put into grants if you want to apply for to use it for catch programs and things. So there's a resource with me. There's resource at the Flag House website. They have a grant writer that helps write also, and it's flaghouse.com. And you can, there's a link on the, I think, on the homepage there for help with grants. And I'm trying to think other resources. I think even on the General Mills page where the grant actually is, I think they have a little bit of information there too. But usually we can get enough information for you to help you write your grant.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions for Jamie on the Fruit and Veggies More Matters program?
I have a question. This is Melissa Rome with the All Our Kids Network in Danville. I noticed that it was kind of targeting the 29 to 41-year-old moms. And, and I understand that's because they're looking more on the Internet, and which I've checked out the website, and it's really, really good. But I know that a lot of our at-risk moms or families are younger moms. So are you looking at any way to broaden out to reach those younger mothers? Because I think sometimes those are the ones that may be a little more at risk.
I know that they're currently looking at that and ways that they can address that. This campaign is focusing primarily on the Generation X moms. The hope is, I think, through focusing on that target audience that we can, you know, get the word out. But I know that they are looking to expand that because they recognize that, for example, a lot of low-income families don't have, for example, computers.
Right, right.
And access to web-based. So they're looking at how they can outreach to those audiences and perhaps get them in touch with free resources, like, for example, going to the library so they could access the web. So they're really, that's something that they're looking at currently, and I think we'll see more information come forth about that.
Good. Mm-hmm. No, it's really great, but that's, yeah, I mean, and again, you can't always reach everybody, one time, but I'm glad to hear that they're definitely thinking about it.
Yeah, I think that they recognize that they are, by it being web-based, that you're going to leave out a segment of the population.
Sure.
And that would certainly be the low income. And so we have to find creative ways that we can begin to engage those groups of people and get the message out.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Faustina Ayi with the Chicago Department of Public Health. And I'm the one that posted the resource question on grant. And somebody said to go to Flat House. I want the person to spell what the flat. Flathouse.com.
Yes.
That's the resource?
Yes. It's Flaghouse, FlaghouseE.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Jamie, just a follow-up question. What's the best way to begin implementing a nutrition intervention at the community level with the Fruit and Veggies More Matters program if nothing has previously existed?
I think what we're trying to do for this new campaign is to build awareness for it. It used to be the five-a-day program, and so now we're moving towards the Fruit and Veggie More Matters and the new logo. And I think if you can gather a team of interested stakeholders and have them come together and think about some of their existing resources, I think you can look at, especially at the local health department, you can, the WIC agencies and the WIC coordinators can come together, look at the other chronic disease programs that are being funded, and how can you get excited about promoting a health message through nutrition? And I think that there are a lot of turnkey toolkits that are out there. A lot of the other states nationally have got some really good interventions out there, community-based, school-based, and so there's just a plethora of resources available. And so if you go to those websites, for example, fruitsandveggiematters.gov and mypyramid.gov and fruitandveggiemorematters.org, they have places where you can click into that have publications and resources specifically for health professionals that will guide you in those efforts as you want to develop interventions for certain target audiences.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Jamie in regards to that program? Okay. I had another question that came in. Jeff, can you briefly explain the Choosy Kids program and where people can get more information on that program that was mentioned?
Sure. Choosy Kids is a program modeled after, or not actually modeled, it is the program that was developed by Dr. Linda Carson at West Virginia University and their Center for Motor Skill Development. And it's all predicated on teaching kids and teaching caregivers and parents the basics of hop, skip, jump, throw, catch, kick, swing, basic fundamental movement skills that kids need to be taught. And her work over 30 years has morphed into this program called Choosy Kids. And you can go to Choosy Kids, C-H-O-O-S-Y, Kids, one word, K-I-D-S, ChoosyKids.com, and you can see everything that they're doing through their program at West Virginia. And just as a side note, that program has been adopted within the last year by Head Start National and is now known as I Am Moving, I Am Learning. So you may have seen some things already about that. I Am Moving, I Am Learning, again, is specific to Head Start and meets within the guidelines of Head Start facilities. Choosy Kids is we're looking at as the broader program that will be able to be encompassed by daycare centers, places of worship, faith-based daycare centers and child centers, early learning centers, non-Head Start-type sites across the state. And as a side note, we have just received some data on only one site that we have where we've implemented this in the Rock Island Milan School District, which is one of the few Head Start-based, school-based sites in the state. And their early indications on the changes in the kids relative to their skill patterns just over a six-month period is astounding. It's the first data we've seen nationally on this, and we're waiting on their – that was mid-year data. The final data will be coming in June. Now, the long term of it is what's this going to mean for kids as they move on, and will they remain active? And our whole goal here is eventually to make sure that we link up between the transition from kids from Choosy Kids, 3 to 5-year-old, and as they move into the catch programs across the state. So there's a continuum across a learning spectrum here, so that by the time the kids, as I indicated in my original presentation, hit the grand old age of 9 or 10, that they're really reasonably good consumers relative to understanding the ins and outs of physical activity and diet. You know, that's all, that's where we're headed. We're not there yet by any means, but that's the intent of what that's about.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? We have time for one last question that came in. Mark, if you could answer, in regards to the Get Up and Go campaign, What's been happening since your May 10th event, and what are your plans for sustaining the fitness challenge?
Well, we certainly have been taking on a lot more phone calls. We've had a couple of local mayors call us, and they want to replicate this in their community. We received some advice early on, wonderfully free advice from a marketing consultant that says don't call this a celebration event if you want it to go forward, because people are inclined to think of a celebration as the end of something. And so, you know, we've kind of adopted the play it forward concept, and now we are breaking out into focus group areas where some of our volunteers that got behind this are now starting to recruit individuals into smaller modules. So there's a component that wants to spend the summer trying to plan something like this for the schools when the school season opens up, and there's a group of interested community leaders that want to do this in the faith-based community. So we're going forward with our regular town hall meetings or open house meetings. Plus there's a lot of already scheduled events in the county and in the metro east area that we are offering up our community calendar. So if there are various organizations that have physical fitness walks, they want to raise awareness for arthritis, for asthma, then we're bringing them on board so that we can kind of help promote their cause, even creating online registration material so that, you know, the website continues to be active and people can kind of see whether they're small grassroots group like the Belleville Runners Club or the Illinois Trekkers, a hiking club, they can still continue to submit through our website some requests for information and things along those lines. So I guess the takeaway is that we haven't slowed down a bit. We're just now trying to apply a little bit of structure to this so that we can carry it forward into the new school year, because the schools are definitely on board with this. Even though we got started late in the spring, they want us to come back and do this again next year.
Great, thank you. Any other final questions? Well, thank you all for joining us today, and if I could encourage you to please take just a couple minutes to complete the feedback survey that's online. It was posted at the end of the presentation. If you need the link to that, you can go to our website or the iPlan website where you found the file for this web conference, and it's posted there. If you have any trouble at all accessing it, just give me a call at 217-679-2827 or by email at llc1185@msn.com, and I'll be happy to help you. And you can also use that phone number and an email address if you have any follow-up questions that you'd like to ask. I'd like to thank all the presenters today, and really welcome all of your feedback so we can improve. We are planning right now a session in June on targeting heart disease, and July for lung cancer. So stay tuned, and all of you who registered will be receiving notification of those events. Thank you.